ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
श्लोक 7 इज रिटन। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. Text number 7. There is only one line written, there are many more lines. This is a prose, so I will read the text here.
हरिवर्षे चापि भगवान् नरहरिरूपेणास्ते तद्रूपग्रहणनिमित्तम् उत्तरात्राभिद्याश्ये तद्धयितं रूपं महापुरुषगण भाजनमहाभागवतो दैत्य दानवकुल तीर्थकरणशिलाचरितः प्रह्लादोऽभ्यावध्यानानन्यभक्तियोगेन सह तद्वर्ष पुरुषैर् उपास्ते इदं चोडहरति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग हरिवर्षे इन द ट्रैक्ट ऑफ लैंड नोन एज हरिवर्ष च आल्सो अपि इंडीड भगवान The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narahari Rupena, is form of Nrsingadev. Aste is situated. Tatrupa Grahana Nimittam. The reason why Lord Krishna, Keshava, assumed the form of Nrsinga. उत्रत्र इन लेटर चैप्टर्स अभिदाश्ये आई शैल डिस्क्राइब तत् दट दयितम मोस्ट प्लीजिंग रूपम फॉर्म ऑफ द लॉर्ड महापुरुष गुण भाजन प्रहलाद महाराज हु इज द अबोड ऑफ ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज ऑफ ग्रेस personalities महाभागवतः द टॉप मोस्ट डिवोटी दैत्य दानव कुल तीर्थि करण शील चारितः हूज एक्टिविटीज एंड कैरेक्टर वेर सो एक्सॉल्टेड दैट ही डिलीवर्ड ऑल द दैत्यास demons born his family praladah maharaj pralad avyavardhana ananya bhakti yogena by uninterrupted and unflinching devotional service saha with tatvarsha purushahe the inhabitants of Harivarsha Upaste offers obeisances to and worships idam this cha and udaharati chants translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued. My dear King, Lord Nrisingadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsha. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisingadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all good qualities and great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of the demoniac family. Lord Nrisingadev is very dear to this exalted personality. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worships Lord Nrisingadev by chanting the following mantra. Purport by His Divine Grace. Jayadeva Goswami's 10 prayers worshipping the incarnations of Lord Krishna, Keshava, contain His name in every stanza. For example, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa Jay Jagadisha Hare, Keshava Drita Meena Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hare, and Keshava Drita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The word Jagad Isha refers to the proprietor of all the universes. His original form is the 200 form of Lord Krishna, standing with a flute in his hands and engaged in tending the cows. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vratesu Suravira Vipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. From this verse, we learn that Govinda or Krishna is the Adi Purusha, the original person. The Lord has innumerable incarnations, exactly like the innumerable waves of a flowing river. But the original form is Krishna or Keshava. Sukadeva Goswami refers to the Nrisingadev because of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was put into great distress by his powerful father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Apparently helpless before him, Prahlad Maharaj called on the Lord, who immediately assumed the gigantic form of Nrisingadev, half lion and half man, to kill the gigantic demon. Although Krishna is the original person, one without a second, he assumes different form just to satisfy his devotees or to execute a specific purpose. Therefore, Jayadeva Goswami always repeats the name Keshava, the original personality of Godhead, in his prayers describing the Lord's different incarnations for different purposes. Shri Shri Radha Ras Vihari Ji Ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Jnanan Janasalakaya Sakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Dangayate Girim Yatkrupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Vancha Kalpatarabhyasya Kripa Sindabhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastachadi Satarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this chapter, the residents of Jambudvip offering prayers to the Supreme Lord is described. So in this particular verse, the prayers offered by the residents of Harivarsha, which is part of Jambudvip, is described. It is described in the earlier chapter that how Lord Priyavrata, when he was driving his chariot, he made actually 7 ditches on the Bhumandala, this Bhumandala, middle planetary system. So he went around, it's a circular, so he was driving the chariot. So he made 7 ditches, and these ditches were so huge and big that they later became oceans, 7 oceans, and making 7 dvipas also. Dvipa is an island. An island is a patch of land surrounded all over by water. It's called an island if all the sides are surrounded by water. So the 7 ditches, which is circular on the flat Bhumandala, made 7 islands, and the land in between these islands are 7 dvipas also. And the dvipa in the middle, center, is known as Jambudvip. So here, in this chapter, so in this patch of land, Jambudvip, different, in Jambudvip also different parts are there. So different parts are named in different way. And these parts, there are 9 parts, Varshas, within Jambudvip, 9 provinces, 9 parts, different Varshas. So in the center of this Jambudvip, the Varsha is known as Ilavrata Varsha, Ilavrata. So in different Varshas, different parts, there are different residents, different kinds of people, so different continents, something like different continent, different Varsha, Ilavrata Varsha. So on the south of Ilavrata Varsha is known as Harivarsha. So those residents of Harivarsha, which is on the southern side of the center, that is Ilavrata Varsha, so they are the companions of Prahlad Maharaj. The Prahlad Maharaj resides there. So along with Prahlad Maharaj, all his associates, they actually worship Lord Narasimhadev. So in each of the Varshas, different personality of Godhead is worshipped, which will be described in this chapter. So in this particular sloka, Sukadeva Goswami describes about how Lord Narasimhadev is worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj and all his associates in this Harivarsha. It starts with Harivarshe Chapi Bhagavan Narahari Rupena in Harivarsha. So Sukadeva Goswami is making a point that he will describe in detail about the pastimes of Narasimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj in the later canto. We are in 5th canto. Already he is giving an indication that he is going to describe about Narasimhadev in 7th canto. Uttratra, Abhidashe, later on I will describe. Hold on, I am going to describe. It's not that only one sloka Narasimhadev, no. We will describe one canto about the pastime of Lord Narasimhadev, that is going to come. But he is giving little tips about, in this particular sloka, about the great qualities of Prahlad Maharaj and how The Lord was so pleased. He descended in this very special form. Very special form. Which was never seen before. Very form. In suppose the Lord came as Meena Sarira. But everybody has seen fishes. You know, the fishes were already there. So he came in different forms, and they were all there already. It is part of Brahma's 84 lakh species of life. It's part. Whether it is Kurma, Varaha, it's there already. Varaha is there. He took Varaha form. That's a special Varaha. But the very form was already existing. All. But this is only Lord Nrisimhadev. This form was never existed actually. You don't find somewhere around somebody offline and off human being, you know. You don't have such species, so to say. Because there was a special purpose. So, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned, the Lord descends for different purposes. So this case, this was a very special purpose. Very special purpose. Because this Hiranyakashipu, he got such a benediction that from Lord Brahma, the creator, that the whatever form existed should not be able to kill him. Anything that is created by Brahma is not supposed to kill. He should not die in the hands of something. So everyone knows there are so many conditions he has put, you know, in neither inside the house nor outside, neither daytime nor night time, neither in the land nor in the sky. All possible ways one may die. He made a statistics how people die. Somebody dies on the land, somebody dies in an accident, somebody dies in the while flying. In the sky also he may die, you know, while flying, who knows? In water, somebody may be swimming in the water and he may die. He took a whole list of how people die and he said that I should be exempted from this. I want exemption. Death exemption certificate. Like tax exemption certificate. You want to give donation to Krishna. You have a tax exemption? Yeah, very nice. I can give donation to Krishna also. Get something saved from government also. Double benefit scheme. So he got a death exemption certificate from Brahma. See, this is the list. These are the ways. One will die, I am not going to die. So confident he was. That is why he was able to challenge everybody. Hiranyakashipu. So, Prahlad Maharaj, who is Hiranyakashipu's son, he actually became a big trouble for him. Nobody ever troubled him after he got all this benediction. On the other hand, everybody was trembling, what to speak of troubling him. So then, Hiranyakashipu would move the eyebrows, the Indra will shiver, tremble. What is he going to say? Something is going to say. But Prahlad Maharaj was so fearless. Everybody was fearful about this. Hiranyakashipu. He was so fearless. Even when he was challenged that where is your God? Because he was always telling, you are so fearless. Everybody is fearful of death. He himself was fearful of death. That's why he went and got this benediction. And Hiranyakashipu asked him, what is the source of your fearlessness? All this strength, where did you get? Everybody is trembling and you are bacha. He is small, he is small. Small child, 5-6 years old, how big he will be. Hiranyakashipu, see here it is mentioned, Hiranyakashipu was gigantic. So the Lord also assumed a gigantic form. Nothing less. Topmost devotee of the Lord, Sukadeva Goswami is giving a preamble, introduction, synopsis of what he is going to describe later in 7th canto. He is giving a synopsis. He is the topmost devotee of the Lord. Reservoir of all good qualities of great personalities. A devotee is actually the reservoir of all good qualities. Supposed to be. 26 qualities of the devotee described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Talks about how the process of devotional service brings these good qualities. There is no need for separately enduring for it. Qualities actually starts manifesting as the person purifies the heart. So once we see such and such qualities are manifesting, one has to understand that his heart is getting purified more. The more qualities are manifesting means more purity of the heart. No qualities are manifesting means it is already to be inferred that the heart is not pure enough. These are two things connected, interconnected. You can't open the heart and see whether the consciousness is pure or not, but you can see outwardly the person, what are the qualities he is manifesting. So you can infer that this is what the status of the heart is. Consciousness is. Cheto darpanamarjanam. Chetana, consciousness has to be pure. So, Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness was so pure, fully situated in Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that he was manifesting all good qualities of the great personalities. Sometimes it may happen, one personality may have one good quality, but he may have some other bad quality. This fellow will have one good quality, some other bad quality. To have all the good qualities is a difficult task. That is possible for a devotee. A pure devotee of the Lord, he manifests all the 26 qualities of a devotee. So here, Sukadeva Goswami introduces Prahlad Maharaj saying that he is such a great devotee. He manifests all the good qualities of all the great personalities. Reservoir. Reservoir means it holds. The reservoir is huge, it holds so much water. Like that he is holding all the good qualities. By his character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of the demoniac family. The demoniac family member, they didn't do anything special for their own deliverance. Simply being the member of the family, they got delivered. They didn't do anything separately. That is the greatness of a devotee. That it's like a fragrance. A flower is there, immediately the fragrance spreads all around. The flower doesn't do any great effort to go this side, I want to spread my fragrance this side, I will go this side. No, he's not going that side, this side, just in one place. The fragrance naturally emanates from the flower and it spreads everywhere. So in the same way, so the flower is influencing the area around it with its fragrance. A devotee, wherever he stays, he influences the place, influences the people around him. People go to Tirtha Yatra, go to a holy place. So holy place means there will be some temple, some place of worship, or some place of taking bath. All those things are there. Like, recently there was Kumbh Mela, and so many people are going to Allahabad, taking bath. Prabhupada also went. You will see so many characters of, it is like a, supermarket of sadhus, different varieties of sadhus you'll find. Some naked sadhu, some this kind of sadhu, some sadhu sitting in front of fire, and some sadhu standing on one leg, all kinds. Supermarket. One place you can get all the kinds of, different kinds of quote unquote spiritual practitioners and kinds of followers. They may have a lot of followers also. You'll find a lot of followers also. Mostly people go to take bath and come. Prabhupada also went. Prabhupada could have said that all these are useless fellows, Mayavadis. Big Akaras are Mayavadis. Because Shankaracharya started it, the original Akaras are Mayavadis all. All kinds of Vadis will be there. He could have said that, why to bother go? Prabhupada went there. Prabhupada, 1977, January is always cold, Uttar Pradesh, cold. 1977, he was already old enough and his health was not good at all. Still he was there. to serve the purpose of giving association to these people, those who are coming there. He didn't go there to take bath and come. Thoda purify hone ke liye nahi gaya. Purify karne ke liye gaya. That is devotee. He was there. Every day he will send all the devotees to do Harinam Sankirtan. In, after hearing all Mayavad Katha, at least if they hear Harinam, then their heart will get purified. Distributing prasadam, giving lectures. So, Prabhupada was there to purify the atmosphere. In the same way, it is said that going to a place of pilgrimage is not only to stay there. Sometimes you go and stay there. Some people go and stay there for 1 month in Kumbh Mela, Magh Mas. It's already cold. It's cold because it's open air, you know. Even though you may have a tent, what greatness of tent can withstand the cold of, you know, Uttar Pradesh, North Indian cold, because the, you know, the Himalayan breeze is coming, you know, it's cold. It's not like living in a room with all the doors closed, then at least it will be warm. It's cold. Staying there for 1 month, what does it mean? Austerity, no? People do that. So doing all this, staying in the place and taking bath and visiting the temple is not complete unless one hears from a saintly person who is living there. Because he can actually give some level of spiritual inspiration so that the yatra can be complete. That is the quality of the devotee. So he actually inspires by his either speaking or acting. It's not necessarily speaking always. One can teach by means of his own action actually. Just doing. People got attracted by the way Prabhupada did the things, simply by action. So, in this way, Prahlad Maharaj, being the topmost devotee of the Lord, he actually, because of his presence, all the members of the family were liberated. Those were at that point of time. Not only that, something more than that. When Prahlad Maharaj was questioned by, not even questioned, he was challenged. Where is your God? I searched everywhere, I didn't find him. Because Hiranyaksha was killed by Varaha. He was so upset, Hiranyakashipu. How dare this Vishnu, he took this form and he killed my brother. So he went about searching for this Vishnu who killed his brother. He went to all the planetary system. He said that I didn't find him anywhere. Where is this guy? He's gone. He's not there. I didn't find him. He's not there. He's the original atheist. You go around and see where is God. You don't find he's not there. He said, he's not there. Then he said, whatever it is, whether he's there or not, how does it matter to me anyway? But I don't want to die like my brother. Death is creating fear because you lose what you have. Well, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my body. I don't want to lose my palace. I don't want to lose any of these things. So he went about doing this tapasya and getting the boon. He at least already got an indication that when he said, you give one line boon that I should not die, he said, no, not possible. He should have got an indication that it is not possible. You know, that means. But he made a whole paragraph of benediction. Instead of one line benediction, he got all these things. So he was sure that it doesn't appear that God is there anywhere. He saw that he is not there. Even if he is there, who cares? So when Prahlad was insisting that he is there, he said, what is this nonsense? Where are you getting the strength? He said, the person, who is the source of my strength, is also the source of your strength. Every time he will say about Krishna, it is like, you know, you go to a person and try to glorify his enemy. You got your person. You see, your enemy is such a nice person. Hey, Java, Java, na unka pass, mera pass kyun aaya? You, the mind doesn't accept it. You know, why should I accept his greatness? How can he be great? I should be great. You know, that is ego. Typical platform of ego. You don't accept another person's quality. You accept your quality as great quality, even if it is not great. So when Prahlad said, the source of my strength is source of your strength, nonsense, stop. Who is that? Vishnu. He is the source of every strength. Because he is the source of everything, so anything derived has to come from him. You are so convinced. So, when Hiranyakashipu challenged him, okay, where is he? Is he in this? Everywhere he is telling, Sarvavyapi. Sarvavyapi means he is pervading everything. Entire universe. He is pervading by his energy. So if he is pervading the entire universe, is he in the pillar? When he was challenged, it was not even a question, it was a challenge. Is he in the pillar? Because he was so sure that he built that pillar in this palace. He made the pillar. How did my pillar? This is my, because I made the pillar, it's my pillar. How can he go into my pillar? No, he is my enemy. How can he come inside? He may not want to come to enemy's place. He thought it is my place. Why my enemy will come here? Usually enemies don't go to other, no, one person doesn't go to enemy's place. You know, he keeps away. But he doesn't know that even though he considers it is his place, it is not his place, it is his place. He has given tenancy rights. Owner is he? No, he is only a tenant. He said, this is my pillar, how can he be there? Prahlad said, he had no doubt actually. He said, no, he is there, everywhere. So, Lord Narsingadev appears to make the words of Prahlad Maharaj a truth. He cannot falsify it. A devotee desires something. Even if it was not really done before, Krishna says, you know, Cholo, I am obliged to do it because my devotee wanted it. A devotee desires something, then Krishna obliges. So when Prahlad said, yes, he is in the pillar, Lord Narsingadev appears and he kills Hiranyakashipu. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, because killing can be different ways one can kill. You can, if the Supreme Lord wants, he can just kill a person by just seeing only. Romaharshana was sitting on Vyasasan and he was going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Balaram walked in and everybody got up and paid respects to Balaram, Supreme Personality of God. Romaharshana thought that I am already sitting on Vyasasan, why I should get up? He was sitting. And Balaram saw, you are going to glorify me, but you don't even give respect to me, what glorification you are going to do? Unfit candidate. Somebody says, Prabhu, I am your servant, and then do nonsense. What servant can do nonsense? You are sitting on Vyasasan, the purpose is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Personality of God had come, you said, no, I am already sitting on Vyasasan, how can I give respect? He said, you are not fit to do that. So he took only a blade of grass. Blade of grass. He didn't take his gada and hit him like that. No. He could have taken a plow, like Yamuna. He took a plow and punished her, dragged her. He could have just took the plow and chucked like that, but dragged him also. You don't sit there, sit here like he could have done it. He just took the blade of grass and he touched him, finished. For a great personality, even a blade of grass is a great weapon. A blade of grass is enough. So, here, Lord Narsingadev could have killed in a very different way also. But he was so upset because he gave so much trouble to Prahlada Maharaj. So angry. Devotee doesn't tolerate when pain is created to the devotee. He can't tolerate. He became so angry. You know, you tore him apart. And even tearing him apart, you are still angry. People are thinking, hey, how to pacify him? Brahma said, no, I can't go. I have never seen him so angry. Then Mother Lakshmi, kabhi dekha nahi aisa. Always you are smiling at me now. He's so angry, I can't do it. So Brahma knew that he became angry for Prahlada. So you go now. He won't be angry at you. Because for your purpose only he became angry. So they all pushed him. So when Prahlada went and paid his obeisances, the Lord became immediately shant. And he placed his hand on the head of Prahlada. So with touch of the Lord's hand, he started Brahmagyan, you know, completely, you know, started glorifying the personality of Godhead. So, after the glorification, the Lord asked him, my dear Prahlada, please ask for some boon. Everybody actually, as soon as you get a chance, you want something, you know. Here is the Supreme Lord who can give anything. He cannot, like, you know, his father went to Brahma and he said, I don't want to die. He said, no, I cannot give. Krishna cannot say that. No, he is not in the dictionary of Krishna. Impossible is in the fool's dictionary, people say. Whether it is true or not for us, it is really true for Krishna. It is meant for Krishna, we try to assume that role. That's the problem here. That Krishna, if he go and ask a boon, he can't say really no. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. Really. But Prahlada said, no, I'm not a businessman. I didn't remember you simply that once you come, I will take a benediction from you. No, I didn't want that. I'm not a trader. You give something and take something means trader. Trade only it happens. Give and take. You pay money and take your goods. Trade. But devotional service is supposed to be unconditional and unmotivated. Because Prahlad Maharaj's devotion was unconditional, unmotivated. When the Lord asked him to take some boon, he said, no, I really don't want. But at the end he said, if you desire, you just give one benediction. What is that? My father, he actually blasphemed you so much. Blasphemed. The Supreme Personality of God. He blasphemed you. And he committed so much sinful activities against me. A king is supposed to protect the prajas. The role is to protect and deliver justice. A king can punish only when a person does sufficient mistake. Suppose a praja, he commits a crime, he kills somebody. Then it is the duty of the king to kill him. If he doesn't kill him, he is failing in his duty. The role of the king is to punish the unlawful person. But somebody is following the law and you try to punish him, then it is a sin. Opposite. If you don't punish him, that is sin, a criminal. And a person who is law-abiding citizen follows all the dharma, you go and try to punish him, it's a sin. Here Prahlada Maharaj is sinless. A devotee is always sinless. He didn't do any sin. According to the law, Manu Samiti, everything you take, Dharma Shastra, Niti Shastra, you go and find out anywhere, where is that sin that Prahlada has done so that he should be punished? Nothing. You can't find it there. His sin was that he was actually remembering Hiranyakashipu's enemy always. According to the dictionary of Hiranyakashipu, he was sinful. But Hiranyakashipu's dictionary doesn't work everywhere, you know. In his own realm it will work. It doesn't work in the realm of God. Even though he was sinless, he was given so much trouble and committed so many sins. So he said that please excuse him. Please excuse my father. He committed blasphemy against you, and you know, he committed sins against me. Please excuse him. So, the Lord, here also, by the way, Sukadeva Goswami says, his entire family, by his association, they were already delivered. But then, Narsingadev told Prahlad Maharaj that, what are you talking about? Delivering your father. Your 21 forefathers are delivered already because of your presence in the family. You are telling just your father. No, he is directly connected to the blood relation. There are some forefathers you may not have seen also. If you suppose as, please tell who is your great, 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 great grandfather. Great means one generation. No? Suppose the son has to do shraddha for the father. He called the pandit. The pandit will sit. So you are going to offer shraddha. So he will say, what is your father's name? Acha, father. Father's father? Yes. One more. Great grandfather. That is the person, your father's grandfather. Only three forefathers are given shraddha. You can't find a tenth forefather you don't call. No? You don't have to. Only three. Father, grandfather, great grandfather. After that you don't even... Sometimes the pandit will ask, what is your father's name? Acha, theek hai. Grandfather? Acha, grandfather... Uska father? Are kya, dekha bhi nahi hai, kabhi kya maalum? Many times, in the family, those who are very elder, they say, mera father ka grandfather, aisa tha na. What to speak of his father's father and all. Here, Narsingadev says, 21 forefathers are delivered. Forget about your just father, no? He, by the Lord's touch only is liberated. What to speak of, you know, giving some boon separately. Just by the sight of the Supreme Lord, he is liberated. He is dying and looking at Narsingadev, you know. That is what, even though he was not dying in a very peaceful manner, but still you are looking at that. We should try to see the Lord, smiling face of the Lord. That is devotion. Angry face, still he is seeing the Lord's face, you know. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajati yanta kalevaram tam tam eva iti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitah. He is seeing the Lord's face actually. It's not very much lotus face by the way, but it was little bit for the purpose. It has become flaming, you know. It's like a furnace. You are looking like a furnace. So the Lord said 21 forefathers are delivered. Prabhupada writes in the purport there that it is actually here, the term used is tri saptalabhi. Tri sapta. Tri means thin. And sapta means seven. 3 × 7, 21. Prabhupada writes, generally you don't even remember great, great grandfather because only three generations one may remember. So Prabhupada writes, not only in the present family the devotee is born, even in the previous lifetime where he is born, they get liberated also. You don't even have any connection now. They are born and gone somewhere. Even you benefit those forefathers. What are you asking about excusing him? He is already liberated. Where is he? He is already excused. Simply by coming in touch with the Supreme Lord, he is already excused. So in this way, here, Sukadeva Goswami is giving an indication, simply by the presence of Prahlad in the family of demon, the entire demoniac family is liberated. And they are so liberated that they are living in this Harivarsha that is being described in this particular sloka. So because of Prahlad's presence, they all became devotees and they actually worship the Supreme Lord in the form of Narsingadev in this Harivarsha. The prayers of the residents of Harivarsha will be described in tomorrow's sloka. Is going to be. So Prabhupada writes in the purport about Dasavatara Stotra of Jayadeva Goswami. So Jayadeva Goswami in his Dasavatara Stotra, he describes about different incarnations of the Supreme Lord. In every sloka, Jayadeva Goswami describes the Lord in his pastime, Prabhupada writes, Keshava Dhruta Narahari Rupa. Every day we sing that. And also he talks about Keshava Dhruta Meena Sarira, form of Meena, Vamana Rupa, like that. In every sloka, he describes the Lord as Keshava. So Prabhupada describes how Keshava is Krishna. Because in the 10 incarnations that Jayadeva Goswami is describing, he will not find Krishna. He will find Haladara Rupa and then Buddha Sarira, which may not be. Haladara Rupa is Balaram. He describes Balaram. After Balaram, Buddha. What about Krishna? Somebody says, Krishna is one of the incarnations. In Dasavatara, there is no Krishna's name actually. He doesn't. On the other hand, it is Krishna who is Keshava, taken all these 10 forms. This word Keshava is Sanskrit word, is analyzed by different acharyas. Shankaracharya, great Sanskrit scholar, he describes what are the meanings of Keshava. What is Keshava means? Kesha is actually hair. Hair. So, Keshava means one whose hair is long, beautiful and curly. When we decorate Krishna, we can see, we put some nice hair also, you know. Krishna puts a simple turban and goes around. The hair is visible. Narayana can't have the loose hair and run around. He has to decorate properly, put his creda. You won't find hair in Narayana. You go to the temple, Sri Sampradaya, you don't find that they put some hair and decorate the Lord. No. You have to decorate properly, no? Then your hair should not be visible. It's usually in the Vedic culture, the turban is put because you don't show the loose hair around. Men, they put a turban. Turban properly you have to put. Krishna puts a turban, but not very formal turban. It's very informal turban. It's not like official. Actually, even 50 years back, even a respectable gentleman, scholarly person, if he goes without turban, he'll be considered, he is very uncultured. Uncultured person. Eh? What is this without turban? And the turban is converted into cap actually. British said that you are wearing turban, I can't wear that, I'll put a cap. Yes, I am a respectable gentleman. Cap. Turban. So Keshava means one who has got a long, curly, beautiful hair. Krishna's hair is also beautiful. Keshava. So Shankaracharya describes, another meaning of Keshava is one who killed the demon Keshi. The pastime of Lord Krishna. Krishna. The Keshi demon, the horse. He came, sent by Kamsa. So he killed by putting his hand inside the mouth and he killed the demon. That's why he is known as Keshava. Also, another meaning of Keshava, this is Shankaracharya giving. Don't say Mayavadi interpretation. This is Sanskrit. You can learn Sanskrit from anybody who is scholarly in Sanskrit. So, he says Kaha means Brahma. Kaha. Ka. Ha is Vishnu. Isha means Shiva. So in this word Keshava, the Lord who is responsible for creation, maintenance and annihilation is contained. Keshava is one who is responsible for all the three jobs. Because he didn't want to accept the personality of Krishna as Keshava because he's a Mayavadi. He's not going to do that. For that he'll have to go to Vaishnava Acharya. Baladev Vidyabhushan, another scholar. He gives another meaning. Another meaning. He says, K means Brahma. Sha. See, he said Ka. He said K, Sha. Sha is Shiva. Isha is Shiva also, Sha is Shiva also. And then Va, he says, the person who binds this both Brahma and Shiva with the transcendental knowledge of Krishna is Krishna, Keshava. That is Krishna. Krishna, by playing the flute, He imparted knowledge into the heart of Brahma. He didn't have to come and tell him to sit down, I will teach you. No. Just playing his flute in Goloka Vrindavan, the knowledge of how to create everything is manifested in the heart of Brahma. So one who can do that is Keshava, that is Krishna. So in this way, Prabhupada explains here how that Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality, who is described in Brahma Samhita. So Prabhupada quotes, Chintamani Parahara, Sadmashukalpa Vriksha. The personality of Godhead, where he is living, thousands and thousands of desire fulfilling trees, and so many Surabhi cows, and the thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis serving, and that person, Govinda, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Primeval Lord. And Prabhupada says, and that original personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also Keshava. So when Jayadeva Goswami is talking about Keshava Dhruta Narahari Rupa, that Keshava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who has taken this form of Narahari Rupa, that Keshava, who is Krishna, who has taken Vamana Rupa, Meena Sarira, Buddha Sarira, Kalki Rupa. So that is why he is not mentioned. He cannot say that Keshava Dhruta Krishna Rupa. He is the same person. How can he say that? How can he say Krishna who has taken Krishna's form? That becomes, even forget about the common sense and logic. Even by Sanskrit, rules, it will be wrong. Sanskrit rules. When Keshava Kashmiri said, Bhavani, husband of Bhavani, when he said that, he said, wait a minute, there is a wrong. 100 sloka, one place he said, Bhavani is husband. Chaitanya said immediately, wait a minute, that is one mistake. Mistake, how can there be? I am blessed by Saraswati, that's okay. Unka baap aaya hai there. Bhavani means the person, Bhava, the mother, Sati, that is Parvati's husband's husband means what? Some other husband will be there? That is mistake by Sanskrit. Language mistake. So even by language it will be a mistake if we say that Keshava Dhruta Krishna Rupa. No. So there is no Krishna Rupa because that is a Krishna who has taken these 10 forms. It is not only 10 forms, there are many more which is described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, Arjuna also addresses Lord Krishna so many times, Keshava. Chita Prajna Saka Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. Keshava, please tell me, how does a person in transcendence look like? What does he do? Keshava. So Acharyas have commented, simply like the Lord kills the demon Keshi, in the same way Arjuna is telling, please kill the demon of doubts in my mind. You are expert in killing the demon. The doubt of demon is coming in my mind. Please kill these also. Keshava. So many times Arjuna is addressing Krishna in this way. So in this way, Prabhupada concludes by saying how Jayadeva Goswami, repeating this name Keshava several times in the Dasavatara Stotra, after describing about the 10 incarnation, Jayadeva Goswami concludes saying that Keshava Dhruta Dasavida Rupa. Oh Keshava, you have taken this 10 form. Jayadagadisa Hare. Oh, that who is that Keshava then? He has taken the 10 forms. And that Keshava, Prabhupada established, is nothing other than Krishna himself. The Krishna, the original personality of Godhead himself, is having the very personal names like Govinda, Keshava. These are very personal. All other, he has got millions of names. But these are primary names wherein he is referred to. So, in this way, in this particular sloka, Sukadeva Goswami is describing how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is protector of his devotees, is worshipped by the residence of Harivarsha. He is a supreme protector because when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he went with his one assistant. So while he was traveling, he was always chanting the names of Krishna. It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita how he was always chanting Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Rama Raghava Pahima Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Krishna Keshava Rakshama. Here Rama Raghava, Ramachandra is coming in the Raghuvamsa. He is known as Raghava. So please protect Ramachandra. Krishna Keshava. There are so many names of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted Keshava. He is using Keshava there. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Rakshama. Please give Raksha. Please protect me. So Lord Chaitanya, whenever he was walking, he was chanting always this. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes. So in this way, that same Keshava, who is Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taken different forms. And one of the form is Narahari Rupa. And this Narahari form is worshipped by Prahlad Maharaj and his associates in the Harivarsha of the Jambu Dvipa, and which the actual prayer will be discussed tomorrow. We'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Mic 1, 2, 3. Where is mic? Any mic is there or not? Mic is there? Is there?
Hare Krishna Guruji. My question is that as you have explained here that a pure Vaishnava devotee who can liberate 21 generations, what Narasimha Bhagwan said in this time. So the question is that the liberation of these generations and the pure devotee's liberation, is there any difference between that? You know, one may say that, okay, if a person is doing a devotion in my family, then what's the need to, you know, do devotion by the other members of the family? Just due to laziness, they may say that. Okay, you are doing it, you know, that is sufficient. So what you would like to comment on this thing?
So you are saying the difference of liberation between the family members and the pure devotee himself. So when the person is a pure devotee, he is already liberated. There is nothing to be achieved in terms of liberation from the sufferings of this material world. When we say liberation, different kinds of suffering, so you get liberated, mokshogya. Kisse mokshogya? From the sufferings. So, as far as a pure devotee is concerned, it is just a matter of time of changing the body and doing the continuing the service. He is already liberated soul, known as Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means while a person liberated while living. He is living, but he is liberated person, Jivan Mukta. He is a Mukta. Mukta means liberated. But he is living also, Jivan. He is living, Jivan Mukta. So when we talk about the family members getting liberated, it is exactly like by means of the devotion of the person, the family members, they get relieved from their past sinful activities. They get liberated. They must have done some sin. Like for example, Hiranyakashipu has done sin. And here Prahlad is telling, please excuse him. Excusing the sin means write off some debt. Accounting aata hai? Suppose there is a debt, you know, nobody is not giving for quite some time. There is no way to retrieve money back from him. You write it off. Chalo, nikal do. Waived. 10 rupiya dena hai, 10 rupiya chalo, main chod diya hai. So, relieving from sin means you have done a sin. The rule is that as you sow, so shall you reap. For every sin you have to suffer. And that suffering is waived. Here Hiranyakashipu has done the sin, so Prahlad is telling, please waive this. He said, already waive ho gaya, abhi kya waive karna. So in this way, the previous sin committed by those family members for which otherwise they will have to suffer, that will be relieved. But getting this opportunity, if they take to Krishna consciousness, then they can get opportunity to go back to Godhead. But but again go back to square one and keep doing the sin, it's not going to work. So it is true that the family member's sin will be relieved, but then after that they become sinless or not is the question. So at least relieving that much is something big, you know. Jo ho gaya. Here. Especially when we offer, suppose, pinda ceremony. The person is offering some shraad, he is offering some water. Why? Because the forefathers, even if they are suffering, without water, thirsty, you offer some water. Ah, my great grandson has given some water, very nice boy. He is suffering somewhere else. You are giving some benefit to him. What, pura din bhai ki paani dete rahega? Then you have to do something else also, you know. It's a relief. Some relief you will get. Using that relief, it's like throwing a rope, you know. Somebody is in the well, he is drowning in the water, throwing the rope itself is a good thing, you know. But after that, climbing is also with you, no? So you want somebody to climb down and pick you up? No. At least giving the rope is okay. But then you have to put your effort. It is not that without putting any effort one person say that अरे अरे मेरा लड़का है ना devotee बन गया मैं कुछ भी करूँगा मैं भी back to God जाएगा लड़का को भक्त बना दिया ये बैठ के कुछ भी करेगा संभव है that will benefit to some extent but then individually one has to perform the devotional service and purify his own heart. The basic criteria to go back to Godhead is when one's heart is fully pure. Cheto darpana marjanam chetana. If consciousness is not pure, you will never get entry there. So relief from the sin happens one level, but that is not going to purify the consciousness 100%. That one has to put his own effort to purify. Without effort, consciousness doesn't get purified. Your consciousness may be thinking, trying to do sin, but your old balance is relieved by devotion of somebody, but you create a new balance, what can happen? Nothing can. No, you have to continue. Yes.
What are the 26 qualities of a devotee? Written in Chaitanya.
26 quality itself, we can give 10 classes on that. 26 classes actually.
In short, in brief.
So many qualities, tolerance. Suppose for example, you know, generally somebody comes and tries to disturb you. Suppose somebody comes and gives a slap on you. What you'll do? Huh? Come here. This is theory. We talk about practicals. Theory and practical are very different. Because we are all learning theory, when we apply that in our practical life, how much difficulty we find, you see? Theory is there. Suppose, there is an exam, go back to Godhead. So there, you are going to be checked whether you have got 26 qualities or not. Huh? So, Vishnu Duta has come and give you the paper. Please answer this question. 26 qualities of a devotee. Yeah, I know that. Give it. Tuck, 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 tuck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 26. Yes. Please take it. Your answer 26 qualities, you know. You know it. This is what? Theory. That will not be checked. Whether you manifest them in your practical life or not. Your theory mein likh diya. What you will do when a slap is given? Yeah, I will show the other's cheek, you know. When I asked you the question, you said that. Suppose you are traveling in the train and somebody did like this and you got a hit here. You say, hey, what you are doing? That is natural, you know, reflex action. This is called reflex action. No? Yeah, a mosquito is coming near your eye, a fly is coming near your ear. You don't have to tell the eyelids, please close down, you know. Immediately it closes down, reflex action. Natural tendency comes actually. So, our material body, natural tendency is that when somebody laughs like that, you do like this, you know. But a devotee who has developed the quality of tolerance, whose consciousness is purified, his natural reflective action doesn't work only actually. The consciousness has taken over the natural reflexes of the body. purity. So that is tolerance. And what is the degree of tolerance one has to? Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sagasnuna amanena manadena kirtaneya sadahari. If you can develop these three things, more tolerant than a tree. The tree is tolerant that you go and cut the branch, it doesn't protest. More tolerant than the tree. Taroriva sagasnunam amanena manadena. If these three things you develop, you can chant Kirtaniya Sadahari. All the time chanting the names of Krishna. It is not possible otherwise. You get bored. I have to do so many other things. A blade of grass, Trinadapi Sunichena, blade of grass, it doesn't protest when somebody walks on it. A tree doesn't protest when you cut. So somebody gives a disrespect, a person, doesn't protest. That kind of quality, if one naturally develops, not theoretically, practically, then that is. Like that, there are 26 qualities you can keep discussing for the whole day. But then practically manifested, that is a symptom of purification of consciousness.
One more question. Hiranyakashipu, he did a lot of tapasya to get the note certificate boon from Brahmaji. So when he did tapasya, his body's flesh and all was eaten up, and then Brahmaji came and gave him boon. But then when Narasimhadev came, Narasimhadev told Brahmaji that you shouldn't have given him a boon like that. So why did Narasimhadev? Because he did tapasya, he got boon. That is the law.
Tapasya, you can give boon, but by giving a boon, if you are going to put yourself in trouble and everybody else in trouble, that kind of boon need not be given. Need not be given. It's a trouble for the whole universe, He simply gave, yes, chalo, theek hai. It became a trouble. So putting so many people in trouble is not necessary. Try to avoid, that's what he said. It can be avoided. Here. Jayadev Prabhu. Jayadev Goswami's question he is going to ask.
Hare Krishna. Krishna. Prabhuji, little information about these Varshas and Dvipas. Like in Earth planet, the whole Earth planet is Bharat Varsha. Then where are the other Varshas situated? Like Ilavarta and others and others. And similarly, Dvipas, what is the location of those Dvipas?
Where are the other Varshas? Can we see from here? Can we go and send a satellite and land there and try to find out? Because there are different other personalities living, they are wealthy, so many other things are there. There is an ocean of sugarcane juice, maybe we can go and swim there and then come back here. How do we reconcile what is described in Srimad Bhagavatam about so many dvipas, so many oceans, sagaras, and where are they? Can we see from here? The way we are seeing the universe is from the perspective where we are living, here. So, the way they are described is not the perspective from the earth planet, it's perspective from the higher place. From there when you see, you can actually see dvipas, etc. Suppose it is exactly like a small ant is crawling on the floor here. For him to conceive, there is something called a roof. It's difficult actually. I don't know. The ant only sees two dimensions, X or Y. He doesn't know the third dimension actually. As if he reaches the wall, then he takes the wall, he climbs, then he knows only now two dimensions in the wall actually for him. He doesn't think that I am going in the third direction. For him to even know that there is a roof and over the roof there is a terrace and there are other floors, it is impossible to conceive by staying here. But whereas you develop your vision and see from the higher level, then you can see, hey, there are so many floors, there are so many different things, etc. So we are like small ant living here. For us the conceivable limit is very less. We can only conceive few things. But to see and conceive how these dvipas are there, how the sagars are there and how they are there, one has to actually develop one's consciousness in the different direction, vertical direction. So Sukadeva Goswami describing from that direction, no? That is why he is able to describe it as dvipa like that. If you sit in one corner of the dvipa and then say that where are other dvipas, so what you have to do is, you have to develop your consciousness, and when you fully develop your Krishna consciousness, when you take off from here, suppose you want to see the whole city, you have to take a helicopter or plane to see the whole thing, you know. Whole city cannot be seen by sitting in one corner. So when you take off, you also have to take a plane. You are a travel agent, so please try start issuing Vaikuntha visas. You get visa for your customers, now Vaikuntha visa. When Vaikuntha Vimana goes, when you go above and above, you see, hey, wait a minute, there are so many dvipas. Yeah, this is what I studied, you know, in Bhagavatam. When the Vaikuntha Vimana goes above, then you can see how the Sumeru mountain is, how this Ilavrata Varsha is, Jambudvipa is, and Hari Varsha is, how they are praying. From there you can see all the Varshas also one stroke. From that level one can see. But by being here, or by taking artificial mode of transportation, like, satellite or, whatever, aeroplane, you can only see this planet, because this is a very small place compared to the entire universe. This very Bharata Varsha is a tiny piece actually. From here, from material modes of transportation, we will not be able to understand what Bhagavatam is talking about. It's a different way, of looking at the reality. But when one develops the consciousness, he can just see higher consciousness.
That means they are all surrounding the earth planet.
Yeah, earth planet is one tiny bit in the Bhumandala. Bhumandala is huge. It's like a disk. And above there are so many planetary systems vertically. Seven higher planetary systems, seven lower planetary systems. And beyond that, the shell of the universe, beyond that, our Karana ocean, beyond that Vaikuntha. If you have to go to Vaikuntha, you have to cross all these things, On the process of crossing, he will know that all this, how they are. From present perspective, it is not possible to conceive them.
Thank you.
If I stop my lecture without your question, it will be incomplete, isn't it? Please.
Hare Krishna.
Last.
Generally, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness do not go well together, correct? But I understand that in 8 Varshas, residents indulge in sense gratification also, but they don't forget Krishna. So who gave them exemption certificate, I'm asking you?
Exemption for what?
Exemption for satisfying and gratifying senses.
Who said they are gratifying their senses? Who said that?
But in Bhagavatam, no.
You made a statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Please tell me, that statement is from where? They are gratifying the senses, you said.
Yes.
What does that mean? Can you qualify that gratification?
They indulge in sense gratification.
I am asking, what is the sense gratification? Qualify. Statements cannot be made with our own understanding of reality. When you make a statement from scripture, it should be scripturally supported. Engaging in activity doesn't mean sense. First of all, you have to understand what is sense gratification. The sense gratification is an activity by means of which one derives some pleasure of the sense. Suppose, sense gratification of eating. Somebody says, bring everything, chalo. Do aase kaayega. If he eats, that is sense gratification. And he eats anything and everything, that which is not connected to Krishna. So he is doing that solely for the pleasure of his tongue. Right? So, let us keep that aside. Then, for example, the associates of Krishna, going with Krishna and having a picnic, and in the picnic they open their tiffin boxes and they open rasgulla, gulab jamun, dahi rice, and they sit and eat. What are they doing?
They are enjoying with Krishna.
So what about the sense gratification? Are they gratifying the senses?
They may not be gratifying.
They may not be? You ask them?
Not necessary to ask.
So, eating in the material world, all junk food, karmi food is also eating. Sitting with Krishna and eating is also eating. Eating by itself is not sense gratification. Try to understand. Eating to solely satisfy your senses, not the senses of Krishna, is sense gratification. For example, even a person who is, very advanced, he may be also eating something, you know. You say that he is gratifying his senses. No. Even a karmi who is eating very little only to maintain the body is not really great sense gratification. Suppose a yogi, not a necessarily devotee, he goes to the forest, and it is described how Bharat Maharaj went to the forest and he was eating roots and leaves and things like that. Is sense gratification? It's a part of controlling the senses. The palatable dishes for simply satisfy your taste bud, that is sense gratification. Eating by itself is not sense gratification. Eating for just maintaining the body, even according to the material standard, is not sense gratification. What to speak of if we eat Krishna prasadam? That is not sense gratification. The gopas who are sitting with Krishna and actually eating, they are actually satisfying the senses of Krishna, and Krishna is trying to satisfy their senses. So when Krishna is satisfying them, they are happy also, and that is not sense gratification, it is devotion. They are also eating. Krishna is saying, hey, tumhara dahi rice achcha hai, de do, thoda de do na mere ko. Dahi rice ko left hand se leta hai. Brahma is seeing. Kya ho raha hai idhar? He is supposed to be yajna. He is supposed to accept the offering which is offered in yajna. Even not even taking the right hand, left hand se leta hai. Doa se ka raha hai. Doa se Bhagavan bhi ka sakta hai. No, he is satisfying his own senses, and he is trying, by the devotees Gopa satisfying the senses of Krishna, their senses are automatically satisfied. It is sense satisfaction, not sense gratification. There is a difference, huh? So, the question is, what is your question now? Whether these residents of this Varsha, they are gratifying the senses or not, the very fact that they are tomorrow going to chant the prayers of Lord Narsingadev and they are going to glorify the Lord, obviously they are going to offer all the items to the personality of Godhead, and then when they are going to use, that is not really sense gratification. To close this topic, suppose we talked about karmis eating and we talked about gopas eating, what about devotees of Hare Krishna land eating? More practical, no? Aiki nahi? So Hare Krishna land, Mahaprasadam, Rajbhog is cooked. So you go to transfer room, sometime they tell you no, you are not entitled for plus plate. Somehow or other you manage to get a plate full of Mahaprasad, and then you start eating. Are you satisfying the senses or you are gratifying the senses? Kya karna hai?
Satisfying my senses.
Acha, aaj mil jayega aapko. It is all about consciousness of your eating.
Thank you.
If a person thinks, अरे अरे बहुत मिल गया आज, क्या क्या मेरा अच्छा अच्छा चीज मिल गया है, कौन कुकिंग किया आज, अच्छा कुकिंग किया, चलो. If the mood of that eating is to fill up the belly and satisfy your tongue, it is a kind of transcendental sense gratification. थोड़ा transcendental, because कृष्ण प्रसाद हो गया, कर्तव्य सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन. इन फ्रंट ऑफ प्रभुपाद दे विल ऑफर लॉट ऑफ आइटम्स, एंटायर राजभोग प्लेट एंड नो सो मेनी थिंग्स. प्रभुपाद विल सी, ओके डिस्ट्रीब्यूटेड, दिस इज व्हाट, दिस इज सेटिस्फैक्शन, इज नॉट ग्रेटिफिकेशन, इज नॉट दैट मिल गया आज चलो भर जाएगा पूरा. No, that is sense gratification. It is a question of how to elevate ourselves from the consciousness of sense gratification to sense satisfaction. The more a person is advanced, the more you will exhibit the quality of sense satisfaction. But you have to eat. Eating is not sense gratification. You have to eat. To maintain the body and soul together, you need. But that eating, when it is within the limits of satisfaction, simply for the maintaining the body, that is not sense gratification. So in that way, if we say that, whether the residents of Hari Varsha, whether they are sense gratifying or not, they are not sense gratifying because they are in the association of pure devotee. And pure devotee is teaching them how not to be indulged in sense gratification, but for gratifying the senses of Krishna. By means of gratifying the senses of Krishna, you get your senses satisfied. You will always get some prasad so that you can get satisfied. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaura Premanande.